In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is recorded in Matthew chapter 27. We read there the 19th verse. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." This is the word of our God. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, did you ever have that rather innocent and innocuous-looking thread on the sleeve of your sweater? And you thought, well, it's really not that important. And so you grab a hold of it and you pull, and your whole sweater sleeve unraveled. So you find out that it was rather important after all. One brief verse in the entire gospel of St. Matthew's gospel might at first look a little bit unimportant, maybe irrelevant. But tonight we're going to pull on it. And by that I mean we're going to talk about it and take a look at what it means. And we'll come to see that as we do that, we're going to find out that it's a very important passage as Jesus' passion history unravels before us in these midweek Lenten services. Pontius Pilate's wife appears suddenly and disappears almost as quickly in the early morning hours before Jesus Christ went to the cross to die to pay the full price for the guilt and punishment of our sins. History identifies her as Procula. Procula identifies Jesus as that righteous man. You'll see, first of all, that God had revealed that truth to her in a dream. And secondly, that Procula revealed that truth to her husband as a warning. Early Good Friday morning, the Sanhedrin brought Jesus before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate was the only one who could pronounce the death sentence. And so the Sanhedrin had brought before him this man who had claimed that he was going to destroy the temple and in 3 days build it again. Of course, Jesus was referring to his body. But the Romans had taken the power and authority of capital punishment away from the Jews. It had come to the point in the proceedings where Pilate wanted to be magnanimous. He also realized that Jesus was not guilty of anything worthy of death. Pontius Pilate realized that it was out of envy that the chief priests and the elders and the Sanhedrin had brought Jesus to him. And so, in keeping with his usual custom, he told the mob that he would release to them one prisoner at the Passover. And he gave them the choice between Jesus, who obviously wasn't guilty of anything, and a man named Barabbas, who was a seditious murderer. Pilate thought, this is going to be easy. They'll pick Jesus, and that'll let me off the hook. They'll pick this king of the Jews and leave this murderer in prison. Now, earlier in the morning, before all of this even began to take place, God had sent to Pilate's wife, Procula, a dream. A dream with a message for her husband. It's not an unusual thing, is it, for God to deliver a message to somebody through a dream? We think of Joseph in Egypt, where he had the dreams that he was able to interpret so that he became Pharaoh's right-hand man. This coming Sunday in the first lesson, we'll hear how Jacob had a dream at Bethel, in which he saw heaven open and the angels ascending and descending on a ladder. God warned the wise men in a dream to return to their homeland by another route. Luther warned against following dreams, however, as a continuing way of having God speak messages to us, especially in light of the fact that God has now given us His Word to reveal His truths to us. And so Luther wrote this, quote, "I too, at times, have dreams that move me somewhat, but I despise them. And I have come to this understanding with my Lord God that I will believe Moses and the prophets," unquote. So in other words, God now does not speak to us in dreams, but tells us that Jesus is a righteous man and what he did for us. God tells us that in his word. The last thing we want to do is put words and meaning of words in Procula's mouth. What did she mean when she called Jesus that righteous man? And through the messenger told her husband that's why he better not have anything to do with him, with that righteous man. Did it mean merely that she had heard and seen that Jesus had never really broken any laws, that he was, we might say, very civically or civilly a good person, and so Pilate should let him go? Or was it more along the lines of what the Roman centurion said at the foot of the cross when Jesus died and the earthquake struck and the earth was shrouded in darkness? And the centurion said, truly, he was a righteous man. Truly, he was the Son of God. Since God revealed that dream to Procula with the purpose of having her husband release Jesus, I would suggest that it is the latter. With Luther, you and I appreciate the fact that God does no longer reveal things to us about Jesus in our dreams. We rather have the inspired Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And they reveal Jesus to us, don't they, as much more than a mere man who was good. Much more than a mere man who was civically or civilly righteous. The Holy Scriptures reveal to us a man who is also the Son of God. A man who is that righteous man in his holiness as a divine attribute, and who is that righteous man in his perfect obedience of the law as our substitute, so that God could impute that perfect righteousness of his obedience to you and to me. The revelation of this truth came in a dream to Procula. But now Procula tells that dream through a messenger to her husband as a warning. As the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, and the elders got ready to declare their choice of Barabbas, to release Barabbas and to crucify Jesus, Pilate sat down on the judgment seat to await their decision. He probably thought they were still thinking. Little did he know that their minds had already been made up the night before. But the judgment seat was a seat that was generally outside of the palace or outside of the court, and it's where the judge would sit during the proceedings to hear the witnesses and then to declare his verdict. And so while Pilate was there, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." I don't mean this to be funny, but Pilate should have listened to his wife. He should have listened to what God told her to tell him. Because here, God was giving Pontius Pilate a wide open door to let Jesus go. Here, God was granting to this heathen ruler the opportunity to not act with injustice, to act instead with justice, to do the right thing as a representative of God in the government. This was the moment for Pilate to listen to what God had revealed to him. Really, the consequences are not minor by any means. Think about it. If Pilate had done the right thing and listened to God through the dream that he gave his wife, then for centuries, people would not have been saying every Sunday about Jesus, "He suffered under Pontius Pilate." Oh, Jesus would have been beaten anyway had Pilate done the right thing. Jesus still would have been crucified. Jesus still would have died and been buried. Taking Pilate's name out of the creed would not have changed the sacrificial act that Jesus carried out in our stead. But somebody else would have been the tool through which God had done it. Somebody else would have been the instrument by which Jesus Christ was turned over. Because that was God's plan. But now, at this point, Pilate could have willingly, consciously, deliberately said, "I'm not going to listen to these false charges. I'm not going to do what's politically expedient. I'm going to have him beaten, and I'm going to let him go." But Pilate did not listen. And so he became the willing instrument of his own volition to be the one who turned Jesus over to be crucified. Pilate had no personal repentance here about doing a sinful thing of having an innocent man crucified. Pilate did not carry out true justice for someone who had been falsely accused. The Eastern Orthodox Church and the Ethiopian Orthodox Church both believe and teach that Procula later became a believer. And in fact, they granted to her sainthood. And we can only hope that that message that God delivered to Procula in her dream, that perhaps what she saw and heard later about Jesus, that through that gospel the Holy Spirit would have and did bring her to saving faith in Jesus. And certainly we hope the same thing for Pilate too, don't we? That somewhere along the line later, he did repent of his sins He did hear that good news about the resurrected Christ and came to believe and trust in Jesus. So I hope we've come to see that this brief moment, this brief incident, this seemingly innocuous thread in the story of Jesus' passion is really very important. And the main reason we know that is because it's in the Scripture. The main reason we know it is because God included it for our learning as part of the entire Passion history. It is a necessary strand in the garment of our salvation, as that thread in the sweater garment I mentioned earlier. Now, it is not through a dream that God tells you and me and the world, don't have anything to do with this righteous man. Now, through the Word of God, God tells you and me and the world, have everything to do with this innocent man. Have everything to do with that righteous man. Because he was righteous for you in life and death, so that you would be righteous in your life through him, and righteous forever in heaven. Amen.